Right, let's dive into some Hindu thought today. We're talking about Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. I think most people listening have at least heard of them. But we are going to go deeper, way deeper. We're going to try to see how these forces, creation, preservation, destruction, how they all kind of work together to keep this balance in the cosmos, and also how people actually worship them in different traditions.
Yeah, and I think what's really interesting about them is that they're not really competing. It's not like one is against the other. They're actually all these different facets of the same cosmic energy.
Right.
Almost like imagine like a wheel that's constantly spinning, you know? And they're all playing this part in keeping it going.
I like that. That's a good visual. And you know, one thing that I thought was really interesting is that Brahma, the creator, he's not that prominent in modern Hinduism, even though he is like this fundamental role of creation. And our source, the Cambridge Concise Histories, they point this out. It's almost like if you think of the architect who designs a huge building, everyone admires the structure, but not many people remember the person who actually came up with the blueprint.
That's a really great analogy, and I think it speaks to just how religious thought is always changing.
Yeah.
Now, with Brahma, he's often depicted with four heads, right?
That's right, yeah. And each head represents one of the four Vedas,
Yeah.
which are like the foundational scriptures of Hinduism. So it's almost like he is holding all of this wisdom of the universe, right?
Yeah. It's as if knowledge itself is like the primordial building block of everything.
Wow. Okay, so let's move on to Vishnu, the preserver. I think people think of him as the protector, the maintainer of order, but I feel like it's more dynamic than that. It's not just keeping things the same.
It's definitely not static. Vishnu is believed to have 10 avatars, and each one appears at these crucial moments to restore that cosmic balance, you know, when things go off track. So it's almost like imagine a gardener tending to this vibrant ecosystem,
Okay.
and they're constantly having to prune, nurture, making sure the whole garden is healthy.
I like that. And you can't talk about Vishnu without talking about Krishna, one of his most beloved avatars. And of course, that brings us to the Mahabharata, which is a really complex story
Right.
about these family feuds and duty and also divine intervention. For those who aren't familiar with the Mahabharata, could you kind of give us a quick picture of what it's about and what Krishna's role is in it?
The Mahabharata, it's like this huge tapestry woven with all these threads of human drama and morality and spirituality. Imagine this, like family feud, but it's on this huge cosmic scale,
Okay.
with gods and mortals kind of clashing over power, duty, and what it actually means to be righteous. And Krishna comes in as this charioteer and advisor to Arjuna, and he guides Arjuna through all these moral dilemmas. So ultimately, he's helping him fulfill his dharma or his sacred duty,
So it's
which
not just about obedience.
Right, it's about figuring out these really complex situations with wisdom.
Okay, that's really interesting. So we've talked about Brahma, the creator, Vishnu, the preserver. Let's move on to Shiva, the destroyer. He's often seen as this kind of fearsome deity. But it's not just about annihilation, is it?
No, definitely not. Think of a forest fire. Initially, yeah, it's devastating,
Yeah.
but ultimately, it clears the way for new growth. In Hindu thought, destruction is seen as this force that is necessary for renewal. It paves the way for a new beginning. Just like Shiva's cosmic dance, the Tandava, it represents both creation and destruction as these two sides of the same coin.
Wow. So I guess the question for our listeners is, how can we apply this idea of destruction as renewal to our own lives? That's something I think we could all learn from.
Yeah, it really is like maybe letting go of old habits or beliefs that are holding you back, or maybe even painful experiences from the past to make room for growth, right? Like
Yeah.
composting, you know? Transforming things that aren't serving you into something that can help you grow.
I like that. Getting all philosophical over here. So we've looked at each of these deities individually. But I think it's really amazing when you look at them, not as these separate beings, but like threads in this giant cosmic tapestry.
Right, they all weave together.
Yeah.
Like imagine a triangle, right?
Okay.
And each deity is one of the points. And they all support each other to maintain the balance of the whole thing, almost like a dance. This constant interplay of energies where creation flows into preservation, preservation leads to destruction, and then destruction leads to a new cycle of creation.
That's a beautiful way to think about it. It's like not about one force being more important than the other,
Yeah.
but that they're all essential for not just the universe, but for our own lives to work the way they do.
Exactly. And speaking of how they work, this actually brings us to the different ways that they're worshipped.
Okay.
Because there's so much diversity in Hindu practices.
Right.
The Cambridge Concise Histories talks about how there are elaborate rituals in temples. And then you have personal devotion through prayer, meditation, and these really vibrant festivals that celebrate these different deities.
So there's like a way for everyone to connect, no matter what their personality is.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought it was interesting how a lot of temples are actually dedicated to one specific deity within the Trimurti.
Yeah, it's like choosing a particular way to experience the divine.
Mm.
Like some people might really connect with that creative energy of Brahma. Others might feel drawn to the protection of Vishnu. And still others, that transformative power of Shiva. So it allows for this really personal connection to whatever part of the cosmos speaks to you the most.
Yeah, I love that. And this actually reminds me of a question we got from a listener. They were asking about like the meaning of the Trimurti, but not in a purely religious context. Like how can we relate these concepts to our own lives and experiences? Mm. What do you think about that?
I think that's such a great question. It shows how relevant these ancient ideas still are.
Yeah.
You know, think about the Trimurti like a framework, a way to understand these cycles that we see in existence, not just on this huge cosmic level, but in our own lives, right?
Okay.
We have times of creation when we're bringing new ideas into being, or relationships,
yeah,
or projects. And then we go through phases of preservation where we're nurturing and sustaining what we created. And then, you know, things happen. We experience destruction. Things fall apart. Relationships end.
Yeah.
And we have to deal with loss.
So it's not just gods and goddesses up in the heavens. It's really a reflection of what's happening down here on Earth.
Exactly. The Trimurti reminds us that these cycles are totally natural. They're actually necessary for us to grow and transform, like that forest fire we talked about.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to let go of the old to make room for something new. And it's about having the courage to experience everything life throws at you, knowing that even destruction can lead to something more vibrant and fulfilling in the future.
That's really hopeful, actually. So if we're to apply this to our own lives, how would we do that? How can we be more aware of these cycles and maybe deal with them a little bit better?
The first step is just being aware of them.
Right.
Paying attention to how the energy flows in your life. Recognize when you're in a creative phase, a nurturing phase, or a letting go phase.
So being more in tune with your own rhythms.
Exactly. And then honoring each of those phases. So, you know, when you're feeling creative, let yourself try new things. Take risks. Give birth to new ideas. In a nurturing phase, focus on taking care of what you've already created. Give it stability. And then when you're going through a destructive phase, remember it's not a bad thing. It's an opportunity to clear things out, to let go, and ultimately to renew yourself.
Like you're surrendering to the dance. And each step is teaching you more about yourself and the universe. This is really insightful. I bet our listeners are already starting to make these connections between these ancient ideas and their own lives.
I think so too. And it's through those personal connections that this ancient wisdom comes alive. It gives us guidance, comfort, and a sense of belonging in this grand tapestry of existence.
I love that. And speaking of personal journeys, this deep dive has been quite a journey for us too.
It really has.
We've explored the roles of Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. We've talked about their interconnectedness, and we've even thought about how we can apply all of this to our own lives.
It just shows how these ancient beliefs and philosophies still have so much to offer. They give us this timeless wisdom that really resonates with us no matter our background or beliefs.
Yeah. It reminds us that we're all part of this huge cosmic dance.
Yeah.
And we all have a part to play. But before we get too carried away with the cosmos, I wanted to ask you, what stood out to you the most during our exploration of the Trimurti?
You know, I think what really fascinates me is the focus on balance. It's not about any one force being in control, but about how creation, preservation, and destruction all work together. That's what allows the universe and ourselves to thrive.
That's so true. It's a reminder that we need all of those forces in our lives, even the ones that seem difficult or destructive. They're all part of becoming whole and growing. Now, I know we've covered a lot today, but there's still so much to explore. Before we finish this deep dive, I wanted to switch gears a bit and talk about a specific aspect of Hindu thought that people are always curious about. Karma and reincarnation.
Oh, yes. Karma and reincarnation. Those two ideas are woven into the very fabric of Hindu thought. They give us this really interesting perspective on the journey of the soul. Almost like the Trimurti sets the stage, creates the backdrop for this journey that each soul goes on through time and experience.
Okay, I'm really intrigued. So for our listeners who might not be familiar with these concepts, can you give us like a quick introduction to karma and reincarnation and how they fit into the bigger picture of Hinduism?
Sure. Think of life as this giant play, and each soul is an actor taking on all these different roles, lifetime after lifetime. Karma is kind of like the script. It's the sum total of our actions and the consequences that come from those actions, and it shapes our journey. But it's not about being punished or rewarded. It's more like a system of cause and effect. The choices we make create these ripples that go way beyond what we can understand right now.
So it's not some scorecard up in the sky keeping track of everything we do, but more like our actions naturally shape our experiences in this life and in future lives.
Exactly. And reincarnation in this whole picture is like the curtain going up on a new act. It's a fresh start for the soul to learn, grow, and evolve based on the karma it's created. It's this cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. And it's all driven by this deep desire within the soul to understand its true nature and eventually merge back into the divine source where it came from.
Wow, that's a lot to think about. It's like we're all on this huge quest, playing different parts, going through challenges, but ultimately we're all trying to reach the same goal, liberation and self-realization.
Exactly. And you know what's really interesting is that reincarnation isn't just a Hindu idea. It shows up in different forms across many spiritual traditions and philosophies around the world. It speaks to this universal human desire to understand where we fit in the cosmos and to find meaning in the fact that life and death are cyclical.
It's definitely a really captivating concept. It makes you wonder how we should live our lives if karma and reincarnation are real. Like knowing that our actions have these far-reaching consequences, would that change the choices we make?
Absolutely. It encourages us to live with more awareness, to be more compassionate, kind, generous, and forgiving. It's about understanding that we're all connected and that our actions should benefit everyone, not just ourselves.
So moving from me to we, realizing that we're all in this together.
Exactly. And understanding that even our struggles, our mistakes, and our pain can help us grow and learn. In those moments, we often discover our greatest strengths and develop the deepest compassion for ourselves and everyone else.
I like that way of looking at it. It's not about beating ourselves up for our mistakes. It's about seeing them as part of this journey of growth and evolution.
Right. And remembering that even in the middle of challenges, there's always a chance to change, to correct our course, to align our actions with our highest aspirations.
It's like we're all dancers on this cosmic stage, and every step we take, even the missteps, adds to the beauty and complexity of the performance.
Beautifully said. And in the end, that's what this journey of the soul is all about. It's about finding our own rhythm, expressing who we truly are, and sharing our unique gifts with the world.
What an amazing way to wrap up our exploration of karma and reincarnation. I feel like we've only just scratched the surface of these ideas. But I hope our deep dive today has sparked your curiosity and inspired you to keep thinking about the mysteries of the soul's journey.
And remember, there's no single right answer, no one map to follow. It's a personal journey, a process of exploration and discovery that happens over many lifetimes.
So true. It's all about embracing the mystery, being open to new ideas, and continuing to ask those big questions that lead us deeper into our own hearts. Well, folks, that wraps up today's deep dive into the amazing world of Hindu thought. We started with the cosmic dance of the Trimurti, then explored the ideas of karma and reincarnation, and hopefully along the way, we've sparked some curiosity and inspiration in you.
Keep those sparks alive, everyone, and may your journey of self-discovery be filled with wonder, wisdom, and the joy of uncovering your own infinite potential.
Beautifully said. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep into the vast and always unfolding mysteries of existence. So, welcome back to our deep dive on Hindu thought. Last time, we were getting into some pretty mind-blowing stuff, karma and reincarnation. It's wild to think that maybe we're not just living one life, but a bunch of them, all connected by this idea of karma.
Yeah, it really makes you think, like, if we're carrying stuff from our past actions into our future lives, how does that change how we live right now?
That's the big question, right? It's not just some philosophy we're talking about. It's about how these ideas can actually affect our choices, our relationships, how we see ourselves in this whole big picture of existence.
Definitely.
So if we're going with this idea of karma and reincarnation, how can we use that understanding to live like more intentionally, to make a more positive impact on ourselves and the world around us?
I think it starts with awareness, you know?
Yeah.
Really paying attention to what we're thinking, what we're saying, what we're doing. recognizing that all of that has consequences that we might not even see right away.
Like being more mindful of what we're putting out there, because eventually it's going to come back around.
Exactly. And it's not just about our own personal karma either. It's about how our actions affect other people and the world as a whole.
Oh, so like a collective karma, sharing the consequences of our actions on a bigger scale.
Exactly. Think of it like a giant web where everything's connected. Our actions, even the little ones, create these vibrations that travel through the whole web, affecting other people's experiences and shaping the destiny of humanity.
Wow, that's kind of powerful and a little scary, knowing that we have that much influence, even if we don't always see it. So how do we actually live with that awareness in a way that makes the world a better place?
Well, it's about cultivating things like compassion, kindness, generosity, and forgiveness, recognizing that we're all connected and acting in a way that benefits everyone, not just ourselves.
Shifting from me to we.
Right. And understanding that even when things are tough, our challenges, mistakes, even suffering those can be opportunities to grow and learn.
Mm-hmm.
Those are often the times when we discover our greatest strengths and develop the most compassion for ourselves and for other people.
That's a really good way to think about it. Instead of beating ourselves up, we can see those tough times as part of a learning journey.
Exactly. It's about remembering that even when things are hard, we can always transform, change course, align our actions with what we truly want.
Like, we're all dancers on this huge cosmic stage, and every step, even the stumbles, contribute to the overall performance.
Beautifully said. And really, that's what this journey of the soul is all about, finding our own rhythm, expressing ourselves authentically, and sharing our unique gifts with the world.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And it feels like a good place to wrap up our deep dive into karma and reincarnation. We just scratched the surface, but I hope it made you curious to learn more.
Yeah, and remember, there's no one right answer. It's a personal journey that unfolds over many lifetimes.
That's so true. It's about embracing the mystery, staying open to new ideas, and keeping those big questions alive that lead us deeper into ourselves. Well, that's it for our exploration of Hindu thought for today. We went from this cosmic dance of the Trimurti to the intricacies of karma and reincarnation. I hope we sparked some curiosity and inspiration in you along the way.
And remember, keep those sparks alive. May your journey of self-discovery be filled with wonder, wisdom, and that joy of uncovering your own potential.
Beautifully said. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep into those mysteries of existence.